Anyway, I think our main topics tonight is going to definitely be cooks and bird. And speaking of birds who have been cooked, did you guys know that the Falcons blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl?
I heard.
Oh, have you not heard?
It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't!
Oh, well, a bird, bird, bird. Brian, don't you know about the bird? Well, Peter's gonna tell you about the bird.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk tonight, although I am drinking a beer for the show. This beer has about a 2.5% alcohol content. And if you remove the decimal, you know who blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. As somebody tweeted last night on one of our tweets, they write themselves. They really do. Anyway, it's been 3 weeks since the Patriots won their last Super Bowl, and that means it's been 3 weeks since the Falcons blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. And while we'd love to keep reminding them for an hour every week about it, there is obviously some actual Saints and NFL news to talk about this week, so we also have Jason's Mardi Gras recap, and a little bit of a Pelican plunge into Mardi Gras as part of that as well. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm going to go with a zero. Recuperating from said Mardi Gras.
All right, so we'll catch that as our lead story right after we say, Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
Like you said earlier, the Falcons still blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl, so I'm still feeling great.
All right, let's then jump into Saints headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
All right, so our first headline will go in the order of things that came out, and that was the Saints announcing that they would cut Bird, and then I think today he was officially cut, or was he actually cut today, or did they make it official?
The move can't be made yet.
Okay,
right, until March 9th, the start of the new year. Who knows?
You don't know what I read. It's probably NFL rumors.
You probably read the right thing. You're just reading comprehension probably real low.
All right. I'm like, anyway, so Bird will be cut. The question I believe that you guys were talking about in text was what? Would they designate it as a June 1st cut in order to affect the salary cap? And if so, how does that work out?
It gives more money to spend.
It spreads out the dead money. That's it. It doesn't lessen the dead money. It just spreads it out over 2 years instead of one.
Which would you do if you were Binky?
I mean, you know, stop adding dead money, period, would be the first thing I would do.
Well, you don't have that choice.
Right. No. I don't know. He's splitting over 2 years. I think that's what they're going to do. I mean, yeah, it sounds reasonable. If you can split it over 2 years, because even though we have $30 million, you know, in cap space, I think that puts us what, about the middle of the pack.
Yeah, I was looking. There was a list of teams and their salary cap space, and there's a lot of teams with more salary cap space than us.
Or you could look at it as half. The other half have less salary cap than us.
Well, I think we were definitely in the bottom half.
Yeah, we were right. Maybe 20 out of 30. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, but somewhere around there again. So, yeah, spread it out over 2 years, and then stop adding fucking dead money, you retard. Fuck.
Well, how many contracts does $30 million get you?
Oh, it all depends. I mean, you know, it depends how you do it.
Yeah. With Loomis math, it'll get you a lot. The problem is you're going to be paying for it with dead money later on.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's it.
Depends how much dead money you want to add, Jeff.
Right, right, come on. You want to spread it out over 2 years, or you want to spread it out over three?
So, you know? All right, well, let's talk about
2020, we're going to have $70 million in dead money and $30 million
in cash. Well, it won't matter because you're going to have, you know, Sally McSallerson as your quarterback throwing 15 interceptions a game. So who cares what players you have?
But anyway, so back to Bird. I mean, I don't – look, Bird being cut –
Yeah, like, well, he came on a little bit better at the end of the year. Would Did you need to take the dead money?
Right.
Unless he's just injury prone.
Well, I'm sure they asked him to take a pay cut, and he said no. So they said, all right, fuck you, you're out of here.
There is that.
And he was playing better, but he's still, I mean, clearly, he was never going to be what we thought he was going to be.
Yeah. Okay, but is...
Well, was he playing better because they schemed him out of situations right. where he couldn't cause damage?
At the end of the day, I'm going to trust that the coaching staff think they can do better somewhere else.
You can't do much worse.
Well, so now you roll with Vaccaro and Bell, but now this, you know, you either got to sign one or draft one. I don't know how much three safety sets they're going to play next year because they played a lot of that last year, but they kind of had to with the injuries to the cornerbacks, the injuries, and our crappy linebacker play. So if we can get better linebacker play, you know, you won't need the three safety look all the time.
Who's your backup safeties? Because somebody's going to get hurt.
Do we still have Jamarcus Sanford? I mean, I couldn't tell you after the top three safeties last year, I couldn't tell you who was number four. Other than maybe Sanford, but I feel like he got hurt.
If he was, he wasn't noticeable.
Harper. We did.
They all got hurt.
Yeah.
So I mean, Roman Harper's going to be back. Yeah. Remember, we did get. Yeah, we got him back.
We got him for 1 year.
That's it.
Hmm.
I don't think we'll bring him back.
Then that means he'll retire, right?
Unless somebody signs him, who knows?
I mean, you got to imagine he came back because he loves the Saints.
No, because someone wanted to pay him money.
Yes, Jeff. He loved money. Or that. Yeah.
That's kind of how it works.
Yep. let me still be a fan.
Okay. Right.
If he retires,
it's going to be like every other, you know, like Michael Vick retired this year. But he ain't played in 3 years, you know. Roman Harper retired 2 years.
And to your earliest point, they retire when no one is
right,
paying
when no one refusing to pay him.
And they come out of retirement when someone suddenly has an interest. All right, then the next piece of information came out, rumors of a possible Cooks trade, or the Saints are actually looking to trade him. How does this make you feel?
Yeah, well, that's disgusting.
Interesting situation, especially as the news kept trickling out. And then the fact that even Sean Payton responded to it. That was pretty amazing. Look, the Saints hold all the leverage. I mean, if he wants out, like news is coming out that he's pushing for a trade. If he wants out, I mean, we have all the leverage. I mean, if it's a fair deal, you get compensation, then sure. I mean, you don't like to give up a known commodity because we know what we have in him. But it seems like the Saints offense has been able to plug guys in and it hasn't really mattered.
Right, at wide receiver, I mean, we've always, even though I think he's a definite asset, and one of the things that you fail to realize and why he was bitching, is that, he's the speedster, he's the guy who blows the top off the defense, make those safeties and corners, you know, drop back a little bit more to make sure he doesn't get behind them. And that really does help your other wide receivers and tight ends and running backs, you know, it helps them to get open, so... You know, losing him won't be a non-factor. I mean, it won't be a good thing. He is a good player, and he's a talented guy. So I mean, and his salary is still in his rookie deal.
Still, and maybe I know coming up. I mean, they could exercise the fifth-year option and keep him pretty cheap. But then he's asking for $10 million a year, and are they going to want to pay him that? So if they are going to get rid of him, he's going to have his highest value right now.
That's right.
But, you know, the problem is, if you get a couple of good draft picks, but how much faith do we have in this regime to convert those picks into good players?
Yeah, I mean, since 2010, none.
That's, where you look at it and say, well, we know what we have in him.
But ever since they brought in Jeff Ireland, that changed.
Why? Because our number one pick last year, Stephon Anthony, how'd he do this year?
Well,
it seems good, but he's only had 2 years of him. It's not enough time to get an accurate analysis of everything.
Well, yeah. He had 1 year he played, and the second year he didn't play.
I'm talking about Ireland.
Oh.
Well, Stephon Anthony, too. I mean, he was poorly coached. Give him a chance with a better coach, maybe.
I mean, that's what we think.
Position coach.
But Peyton said it would take a substantial offer to trade him, because I think Peyton wants to keep him.
So the Titans offering a number five pick.
No, they're not. Because that would be done already.
Yeah. Well, it would be swapping. It would be swapping. It's either like we swap first round, so we get five, they get 11, and then we get like a third or something like that. Yeah. But I don't think that's enough.
The rumor last night: Titans open to trading a number five pick in their 17 draft, but say it's got to be a two way street.
Like I just said.
Yeah.
And then you know, Philly, you could trade for a first round pick and a player, or something. I mean, it's going to have to take something substantial for him to go. So. If he stays, great. The offense will be fine. If he goes,
and you're right. I mean, you'd hate to watch him walk with nothing. But again, we still have the fifth-year option that would keep him. Then if he walked after that, fine. But he does play that, what I feel, and again, that critical Devery Henderson rule.
Okay, well, then find another Devery Henderson. You don't need necessarily to pay for a Cooks. Find a Devery.
Okay, where?
With the number five pick that you're going to get from Tennessee.
Well, there's no receiver worth that high. But, I mean, in the draft free agency, I mean, if they trade him, they're going to have to replace him with that part of the offense somehow.
Right, but it's not that easy to find. You know.
I didn't say it was.
Right. Well, no, you just said, we'll find another Devery Henderson. You just said. Like it was that easy.
It hasn't been that easy.
Right. Well, no, but the point is, if you just said, when I said he's in that Devery Henderson role, your reply was, "We'll just find another Devery Henderson." And my point being, it's not that fucking easy. Drew Brees leaving. Well, fuck, you find another Drew Brees.
Plug him in.
Well, fuck, great idea. All right, man, you got your margin order. Go find me another,
Oh, well.
Well, hey, look,
can he not get away with a speed guy? I mean, that's it, just a fast receiver? Or he's got to be able to catch, of course, to be a threat for longer than four.
Well, that would help a wide receiver catching. That's, right? Being able to stand upright, that's one. Catching is two,
Well, in this role, it's speed is two.
Well, yes. But history has proven whenever guys leave this offense, they turn to shit, So if he really wants out that bad, he's not going to duplicate the numbers here. Maybe 1 year at tops, that's about it.
Well, but all he wants is the targets, right? I mean, he just wants to be thrown to. Whether he's
a businessman, Jeff.
Right.
Just a businessman. Wants work.
I just want. He just wants the opportunity to drop the ball.
I don't know. Kenny Stills is out there. He's a free agent.
Kenny Stills might be getting about $10 million a year in this contract this year.
And if you look at his numbers in Miami,
I mean he's the big speed guy. The deep threat.
Well, he's that situation where I said you got to be fast, but it doesn't matter if you can catch or not. Can he catch?
But even at the routes, our assumption, we're going to call it the Devery Henderson rule. Those routes, how often do you get thrown to? When they do catch the ball, it's nice, big gains, and it's exciting. But, how many times have they even targeted deep in a game?
Who?
That type of receiver, the one who's going to.
Well, it does seem like the Saints target. When you have Devery, it seemed like they targeted him multiple times a game.
Well, but I would say that we are more of a, high-powered offense that likes to take shots. I think, most teams
You're talking about when they leave here and go somewhere else, and that's why
Right, they just want the targets because he's got the yardage, but because he's got so many big plays, he doesn't get nearly as many catches as everybody else. Yeah. He wants to go somewhere and get a bunch of catches.
Okay. Right, because you're right. Wasn't it a 49-21 game that we won where he bitched?
Yeah.
And, I don't remember if he didn't get any targets that game, but really? We just put somebody there, we put up 49 points and you're bitching? Mm-hmm.
That's why they trade him.
Yep. That is one of the things with the early Sean Payton teams and our Super Bowl team. You didn't hear a lot of me, I. From those guys. I mean, that group of players.
Well, and that's why I like, that's the one thing I do like. Like, if this is about that, then I do like that Sean Payton is keeping it where it is. Like saying, we're not allowed. I would rather play without a talented guy like you if you're going to have that kind of an attitude than allow that to continue.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't think that the Saints really necessarily want to trade him.
You don't want to trade him because of his talent, but you do want to trade him if he's a cancer in the locker room.
Well, but you have to get enough value in return. You're not just going to give him away for nothing just to get him out the locker
room. Right, right.
Well, yeah. I mean, and he's a decent he'll fetch a decent return.
He should. You have. I mean, if you do this, Saints, you have to hit on what you get in return. You have to. Otherwise, it's a failure.
Okay. And so, yeah, the rumors do tie us to that trade to Tennessee and Philadelphia.
And look, get more draft picks so we can add more defensive players because we have a ton of holes. You know, I wouldn't mind our defense getting a little better. You know, I mean, I think our offense would be okay. But the only way we're going to win a significant amount of games is if the defense gets better.
All right. Anything on the Saints other than that? I didn't have anything.
That's no free agency in a week. It'll be a frenzy.
Here's what we do. We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up.
But how about did y'all read the one with Jameis Winston's comments?
Mm-mm. Yeah, and I even heard what he said. I mean, I don't know. I didn't think it was as bad as.
Yeah, I mean, I think these guys, Jeff. Anyway, Jameis Winston was addressing a elementary school class.
Uh oh.
And he said, right. I mean, exactly. Uh-oh. You know, these aren't the most articulate people, and they're young. I mean, the man's only 23 years old. He's still a kid at 23. And he said, I don't know what he was trying to say, but what he said was, you know, and I'm going to quote it. So, but all my boys stand up. We strong, right? We strong, right? All my boys, tell me one time. I can do anything I put my mind to. A lot of boys aren't supposed to be soft-spoken. You know what I'm saying? One day y'all are going to have a very deep voice. And he drops his voice. One day y'all have a very, very deep voice. But the ladies, they're supposed to be silent, polite, gentle. My men's supposed to be strong. I want y'all to tell me what the third rule of life is. I can do anything I put my mind to. Scream it. So they got on him because I guess he said, you know,
that women are supposed to shut up and obey their man.
Yeah, but I'm not. I mean, like Jason said, I don't. You know, I think he's, and we've all had a thought in our brain, but you know, between your brain and your mouth, that comes out wrong.
Every time we do a show,
right? And but you know, I mean, so like Jason said, but anyway, but they made a big.
But let me ask this quick question. Then, Jason, and Damon, this one you should have waited to NFL Reach Around to bring up. But, Jason, you said you heard him saying it, right? You heard it, like the quote from him?
I heard the audio.
Okay,
like, somebody had the audio clip of the speech that he gave.
Okay, so when, because, you know, a lot of time if you just read, or even Damon with your wonderfully, method acting there, I mean, when he said it, did it come like, you know, the tone?
No, it didn't. It didn't come across like that. I think because it's Jameis Winston, he's getting this. Well,
and because everybody's looking for a way to crucify anyone for saying anything remotely politically incorrect.
It didn't come off like the way people are making it sound.
Correct. Right. That's what I'm saying. We're actually defending him.
Right. Well, no. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what I said. I think he didn't mean it to come off that. But the fact that, you know, he had a civil lawsuit saying he raped a woman and false imprisonment, and you know, and it definitely doesn't help his, you know, his case. I mean, you know.
Actually, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you know, when he said, you know, but the lady, they're supposed to be silent. After I raped them, you know. They're supposed to keep their mouth shut. But no, that's not what he meant. But
no, I mean, if anything, you could, right, if people are looking for something where, what's the old saying? Those inclined to get their panties in a bunch will get their panties in a bunch. So if you're looking for a reason to, like I said, crucify him for something he said, you're going to find it.
Right. Well,
read the first two lines of what he said, Damon. This is what I have a bigger problem with.
But all my boys stand up. We strong, right? All my boys, tell me one time.
Okay, right there. What did all those words? What did you say? Nothing.
Well, that's probably
that's what I have a problem with, is that you wasted our time with all my boys, we stand up, we strong, right? We strong, right? We strong, right? All my boys stand up, we strong. It sounds like a refrain in a song. Can we do a digital audio mix with that? All my boys, we stand up, right? We stand up, right? We stand up. All my boys, we stand up, right? Sorry.
In the world that we live in today with, you know, my God, you know, so much media, so much information being thrown at us. You're right. 20 years ago, we probably wouldn't even have heard this. We wouldn't even known about it. But
well, and to Jason's point, you heard the audio. Those kids are not picking up on that. That's the other thing, is look at who he's talking to. What did those kids pick up on? They picked up on, oh, Jameis Winston, the quarterback, is talking to us. Yay. And he's telling us to strive to meet our goals and to do the best we can and believe in ourselves. Yay! But let's go ahead and take away from that.
Right. They don't follow his point was you can do anything you put your mind to. That was obviously what he was trying to portray to the kids.
Although I do wonder why you do have to say women have to be quiet and keep their mouth shut. I don't get that, but I'm not going to defend that.
Well, that's why you're not married anymore.
Oh! And let's get into NFL Reach Around. All right, we got some players being tagged and released.
Yes, all the good ones.
Right?
All the ones that I wanted to. All to get in the sign.
Yeah. I mean, who's left? Or who will be left?
Farrelly. Nick Farrelly's out there. You know.
Right.
Matt Castle.
And that's the thing, like we talked about earlier, so you have all these teams with all the salary cap money. You know, that's why it seems like Farrelly could easily go for 10 a year.
Right, right. There's going to be a lot of people being overpaid.
Uh-huh.
And we like to overpay. I mean, so.
I mean, could you imagine if we actually, if the market drove up Farrelly to like 13, 14, or $15 million a year? And we stupidly pay it.
No.
Dude, I said it like, I don't understand. He didn't have that great a season, did he?
He had a good one.
Did he? I mean, he had a...
By whose standards?
He had a good season.
Well, but I mean...
Hold on. He had a... He had an acceptable, a good, or a great season.
And
a low, middle, or high.
What great, but middle to high?
Relative to who and what? To our standards, which is not...
Well, I know our standards.
Which is very low.
I don't know.
I mean... I don't get it.
I mean, if we're not tagging him, that's not to say anything. There's no need to tag him, but let him go shop. And maybe if he gets a contract, let him go. If he doesn't, then he might come back for not as much as you're saying.
So Farrelly had 43 tackles, 6.5 sacks for a defensive tackle, which is
nice, you know.
Nice. Didn't have any fumble recoveries or picks.
Played every game.
Well, let's see. Did he play every game?
Was he consistent the whole year? Did he get better as the year went on? Because I do think if I'm going to look to pay a guy that much money, I want to make sure that he's going to last the whole season at that high level.
He was pretty consistent throughout.
He played
in – it might be the Kansas City game. No, he played in the Kansas City game because he freaking suplexed the dude.
Yeah, that kind of cost us the game.
That's what
right?
He did. You do that, you get $10 million a year. So,
well,
I mean,
like that.
But, I mean, if you're the Saints, you can't. Can't pay more than that, right? You just can't.
Oh no, you can't pay him $15 million a year.
Okay, so maybe you know that could factor into your decision to listen to offers for Cooks, get more picks. You can replace if you don't think Farrelly's coming back. You're gonna need another defensive tackle,
right? But like you know,
are you interested? Remember a few years ago, we thought we might could land Darrell Revis, and he's looks like he might be about on the market.
He's definitely back on the market, but he
might get him for a discount bargain rate.
Look, I mean, I think Jason, I'm going to say the same what Jason was about to say. Look, if the price is right, there's a lot of people I'd like.
I wouldn't take Revis at cornerback. I'd have to play him at safety. He could be the backup safety.
Would you replace
the problem is,
oh, go ahead.
you know, a guy like that, and kind of similar, like, look, Adrian Peterson's released, Jamal Charles got released. I mean, how much money are these guys, you know, think these guys will fetch? Because they're used to making, you know, $15, $16 million a year, and now you might get three, four.
Yeah, well, you're a product of your – it's a product of your
performance. I mean, look, and that's all they deserve. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't pay much more than that for –
Which just means he'll – if he's going to hold out for more money, it means he'll just be on the market longer and he'll be one of the last guys to sign.
Right. But again, what you talked about, with everybody having so much cap space, who knows, again, who might overpay these guys?
True. All right. Well, do you place Cooks with Alshon Jeffrey?
Who says Jeffrey's he wants been a lot to... more – Jeffrey's been a lot more injury prone, but probably a similar class.
Yeah.
Well, no, I wouldn't sign him. No. Like, if we trade Cooks and sign – no, I wouldn't sign him. Why pay him that much money if you didn't want to pay Cooks?
Attitude.
Right. So, it's going to be an interesting offseason, you know, an interesting free agency.
I don't know. With everybody worth that you would
right.
want.
I mean, a lot of guys
it's not going to be interesting. Right. It's boring.
Right. Well, I don't think it's going to be boring. I think it's going to be a flurry right away. You're going to see some big deals handed out.
To a lot like of guys who don't deserve.
Just don't let it be us. Just don't let us.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And CJ Spiller, Bird.
All right, what do
I'd
you
much,
feel
I'd
about
much rather
Dante
the
Hightower?
I'd much rather the smaller moves than a big splash. Big splashes haven't seemed to work for us.
All right, is Dante Hightower a big splash, smaller move, or
he's going to be really expensive?
Oh, he'll be very expensive.
Got a new room.
I don't know if the Patriots will let him go. I know the Patriots aren't. Look, they don't pay a lot of people, but they do pay some people. And I would think they'd pay him.
Well, they do have a lot of money to spend, should they choose.
Right, right. I think they had the second or third most money in the league.
Yeah.
All right. Dwight Freeney?
Too old.
Which could be said for Pierre Garçon.
Well, but that's not what. If you trade Cooks, you don't need a Pierre Garçon. You need a fast guy. Why go for Pierre Garçon?
I'm just naming names that are out there.
I mean, DeSean Jackson's out there. He's a speed guy, but he's a fucking malcontent. I don't know that.
Then you might as well stay with Cooks. All right.
Bring back Kenny Stills.
Right.
All right. What else you got for NFL Reach Around? That it?
The Falcons blew a 25-point lead in the third quarter to lose the Super Bowl. But have we talked about that yet?
It's as good as a reach around.
You got the combine this week, Jeff. You gonna watch the combine?
Absolutely not. Are you?
I thought it started this week. That we're.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this I is... haven't watched. Right. I thought it started Tuesday.
I have to say I've never seen more to do made about something that is actually not worth.
That is nothing. Right.
I mean, right? I mean, like this is literally guys just like
guys running around in shorts.
That's right. It. That's
it. Well, Jeff likes that. Jeff likes watching that.
What was that joke earlier? Anyway. Why am I helping you? All right. Let's get into a quick look at him tweets. I'm really only bringing this one up just because.
Is it about the Falcons?
Hold on! Don't steal my thunder. So Brandon Guidry did tweet: "Don't let all this Cooks trade talk distract you from the fact that 25 days ago the Falcons blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl 51. Was it 25 days ago? Did we miss that? And then I did post the one about the bird with 25 interceptions and another bird. And the number 25 was Falcon or something. Got a lot of retweets on that one. In fact, it reached a Falcon fan who said, could we please stop with this stuff or whatever? They're asking Saints fans to stop. Which, of course, some people were like, yeah, no, we're not doing that.
No, we're not doing
and so
that.
So then he
ever.
Posted a record of, like, the NFC South. Where it, you know, Falcons are 11-5, Bucks 9-7, Saints 7-9. To which people were like, yeah, but that doesn't change the fact that y'all blew a 25-point lead in the
right,
Super Bowl.
Right, right.
So that was good. And then he said something about, yeah, I know, but it's just really hard for me right now. And I'm like, okay, that's our problem now. Then the Preston Allen sent, you know the difference between a dirty bird and a dirty tub?
Dirty tub had the ring?
Yep. Hashtag 25 points.
This will just be, you know, a little joyful reminder until the season starts.
And then, it's a running joke every week, and each week you get a couple of new ones.
That's right. Oh, here's one that Neil tweeted a terrible welcome about the NFL players, a lot of Saints players there, if not all, right, turned away from the exclusive London nightclub for being too urban.
Okay, yeah, I heard the story, but I want you to... How did you start this?
Neil tweeted this, you know, a link to the story,
right?
And just saying this, like, pretty much terrible welcome, like apologizing on behalf of England that Saints players were turned away from the nightclub for being quote too urban. Which I do have to say, it is funny how Ingram and Sterling Moore and all those guys handled it. They just basically took a picture of themselves smiling, saying, "So this is what too urban looks like."
Right. I mean, again, it goes back to your bunched up panties, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, you know. I mean, we all know what too urban is code word for, you know.
Right.
But again, was it a simple dress code deal? I don't know. I'm not, you know. But look, like you said, I think the players handled it well. They let it roll off their back, and, you know. So, who knows?
Let's see.
So yeah,
And then Life of Ty tweeted: a friend in an all Braves fan group asked me to join his fantasy baseball league. I did, and here's my team name. His team name: Falcons blew a 28-3 lead.
That was so awesome.
That was great.
It really was.
Let's see what else we got. And then we did have Iceman 23 coming in with, "Don't ever let up on the Falcons slander, because Falcons never let up during Bounty Gate. Remember Bounty Gate."
Ah, very good. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Don't forget the old Bounty Gate.
Is it? Oh, you said hard to forget. Yeah, I thought you said hard to remember. Okay, that brings us to Jason's Mardi Gras recap.
Down in New Orleans, where the blues were born, it takes a cool cat to blow a horn. On LaSalle and Rampart Street, the combos play with the mambo beat. The Mardi Gras mambo, mambo, mambo. Mardi Gras mambo, mambo, mambo. Mardi Gras mambo. Down in New Orleans.
Oh man, I'm exhausted. I can't wait to stop drinking for a while.
It was a marathon event?
Yeah. Marathon. Just, I mean, don't get me wrong. It was a ton of fun. So glad I did it. Had a great time at the ball.
Well, you have to tell people, Jason, you have to tell people.
Oh, yeah, the fans don't know.
What you did, okay? Yeah, they don't know. Come on. You got to start from the beginning.
We talked about it before.
I don't think we did.
That I
no,
was a
we
dude.
Haven't.
I was,
no,
okay.
We, no,
well,
no, no, no. That we have, the three of us, but no. But
it never made air.
It didn't?
Uh-uh. Well, I cut out you.
Well, right.
Last week, fussing me for not.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right, right.
I wasn't gonna put that. I got that. I'm not putting that on the show.
Right. So start from the beginning. Kind of explain to our international listeners.
What is Mardi Gras?
What is the ball?
They know what Mardi Gras is.
Yeah. Right. They know what Mardi Gras is.
So New Orleans has these things called Mardi Gras balls. You throw them on the floor.
Is that what you call them?
There is a lot of jokes in there.
And guys dressed up in tuxedos or costumes, girls dressed in dresses, and it's an interesting event, I'm sure, if you're an outsider, if you're not from here. Some of the old New Orleans ones are especially creepy, the guys with masks, and it's gonna be weird. But anyway, I was a Duke in a Mardi Gras ball this past weekend out in Floss, the city I grew up in, and we had a group of six of us, Dukes, maids, and then the King and the Queen. Ball was Friday night, just an amazing time. You know, kind of interesting going out. They had about 1,000 people there, although you two guys weren't there. But had about 1,000. Did you guys leave and go to the bathroom?
No, I'm here. I don't know why.
Okay.
Apparently Jeff did.
He definitely did. He's like, all right, I'm gonna just go. Away. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a fun time. It's an interesting, experience going in. I knew a couple of the guys, did know a couple of the other ones, didn't know any of the girls other than the maid that I had. Interesting how just the group just came together and you meet people you knew and you become better friends. You meet people you don't know and you become friends. But the ball was a lot of fun. Then we had Saturday to recuperate, and then we all rode in the parade on Sunday. It was more fun riding in the parade, which I actually haven't ridden in a couple years. Did you go to the parade?
No, I didn't even go to the parade. My brother was out of town, so he's on West 5th right there. That's where we've been catching it, and I think I was working, so I didn't need to be caught in the middle of it, and not be able to get out.
Okay.
So yeah, did you see anybody you knew when you were riding?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw Garland.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I saw Garland.
Speaking of two.
Really? He's not in jail?
No, I was surprised.
Yeah, last I heard, he was in jail.
25 times. Wait, I think he'd been in jail 25 times. Or he was at least arrested 25 times.
He might have been arrested 25 times. I saw...
He was arrested for every point the Falcons blew in the Super Bowl.
Always see Frank Tarantino.
Yep.
In the same spot. I saw Chris Owens. He was at the beginning of the parade.
Oh, I've seen him there.
What's that?
The last time we rode, I think I remember seeing him there.
Like, I saw him, and he kind of caught me because I just didn't expect to see him there. So, like, I gave him a good bead, but it just, like, I would have given him more if I was kind of anticipating it. But,
right.
What, was he working, or was he?
No, he was there with his son.
Okay.
Watch the parade. So, obviously, saw the family, Adam, Courtney. They were all by, because Mr. Craig lives in the Estates now. That's where they watched it. Renee watched it over there.
Oh, and speaking of Chris Owens, for those of you who listen to the show and know New Orleans and the Chris Owens you might be thinking of, that is not the Chris Owens. We know a guy we grew up with whose name is Chris Owens.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. I know Kendall was there, but I didn't see him, so he must have been on the other side.
All right. Probably protecting his spot at the Superdome.
Yeah. But anyway, I hadn't ridden in a couple of years, so it was nice to get back to ride with the crew. And then next year we get to ride again as the returning.
Oh, that's right. Huh?
So that'll be nice because, look, we were, the group was on the one float, but the king, being the king, had to ride by himself. So, that kind of stunk. It'd have been nice to have him on the float with us, but we'll get that next year. He'll get to ride with us. But it was fun, exhausting.
Now, do you guys continue to hang out and do parties throughout the year, or was it only condensed to the time leading up to the ball? Or was it year?
It was, the guys, maybe like one or two, but once the official reveal happened in early January, then we pretty much had something every weekend. And then some weekends we had multiple things where we do like one event would be like everybody, and then the next day would be like the guys would do this, and the wives and the maids would do something else. Now, I think, we're going to plan to do things throughout the year, not nearly as many, but technically we're still the reigning court, so
right,
we've got all year and up until the next ball. I will say on Monday I did have a little feeling of sadness knowing that it was over. It's like a small bit of depression, just because it was fun. It's like every weekend you had something
so much
to.
Right. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was kind of not really overwhelming.
Gonna thank you
because it was fun. Well, yeah, be thankful when I don't drink alcohol for.
So when did they inform you, or when did they ask you to be a Duke?
They asked me. It was early, maybe April.
April. Okay. So that's what. Yeah. Again, nowadays I don't know how they do it. Do they ask you, or do they tell you?
They ask you, and if you want to be in it, you say yes. So like he asked me. It's like he's told me he had a good group of guys already, so. So I said, yeah, now I think this year, because a lot of times, like, people go to the ball and they have a great time, and then they go up to the captain and say, oh, I want to do this next year. And, a lot of people do that. But supposedly, they've already got four Dukes, and they know who the king is going to be already.
Who is the captain? Did the captain change each year?
It changes every 2 years. So it was William Mia was the captain this year and last year. Mr. John Gallant was captain before that.
Hey, look at that guy.
So that's where we get that from, folks. And then Chris Buchwald is going to be the captain next year.
Oh, wow. Young guy. Well, I guess he's not young anymore, is he?
And he's our age. I mean, shit, we're not young.
Shit, I forget about that.
Yeah. So they, you know, they ask you and say, yeah, I want to be in it. So then once they have all the Dukes, then you have, they have the Duke reveal party where the Dukes meet each other and then they meet the King.
But that's not until.
That was in maybe July.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It's usually July or August.
Okay. But it wasn't revealed to the public yet. Y'all just knew.
Oh, no. Right. Right. That's what we meant. Right. But they brought us to a place. They blindfolded us, brought us in, had us sit down, and then take off the blindfold, see who the Dukes are.
Very eyes wide shut.
And then, you know, so the Dukes meet each other. No. Or get spanked. I didn't have to get spanked either. So the Dukes meet each other, and then eventually the King comes out, and everybody meets the King.
All right. And who would the King this year?
Sean Russell.
Okay. I like Sean. And the maid. Do you get to pick your own maid? Or, I mean, that's.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have a general idea of who you think you might. You know, you want your maid to be, so then they'll go to the maid's parents and ask if they want to.
So what went into your decision for maid?
It was the only person that, it was a candidate that I know. Because I didn't know any, I don't live in the Plaza anymore.
So the maids put their names in a hat.
Okay, well, that's different.
They don't really put their names in a hat, it's just, I heard that she would be interested in doing it, so I told Will, I was like, look, if I'm going to be in this, I don't know anybody in the Plaza, here's somebody that I do know that I think would be interested in it, so then they
And who was that?
Chris Buchwald's younger sister, Emily.
And what's her name?
Emily.
Okay. So that, okay.
Mrs. Joby and Miss Ann. And
I wondered how that worked because, because they're that family or her or somebody's putting up the money for them to be in the ball. So just to
All the maid's parents are putting up the money.
Yeah, so it's right. Like, hi, right, I want you to be in the ball, and it's going to cost you.
Right, because the maids are usually a lot younger than
younger. Like they can't be older than 24 or 25,
and they can't be married either, right?
They can't be married, right? They have to be single.
This is a little creepy if you think about it.
The older New Orleans ones are really creepy.
Right, it's very creepy. It's very creepy.
And I think the guys have to at least be a certain age. Like they can't be younger than
they've 30. Got to be old.
Right.
What was it? It's basically 30. So that older rich guys can have an escort.
Can have their own deputy.
Their escorts.
Right.
Right.
I'm sure that's somewhere rooted in the tradition. It's probably something sick like that.
It has to be.
It's and again, Laplace might not be as creepy. Again, when my dad was king, he asked Mr. Jimmy's female daughter Paige to be his. They were involved with it. And I don't know, this was in 1983. My dad was, 50-something. I don't know how Paige was probably in her, late teens, early 20s, But obviously, this is just for the ball. And Sunday night, I watched the Rex ball on TV and the meeting of the courts, Comus and Rex. And it is creepy to sit there and watch because even, like you said, these are two of the oldest crews in New Orleans. And the kings are just 67-year-old men. And the queen is, early 20 young lady who's in college. And it is creepy to watch. I mean, it is a man's world. I don't know what to tell you about it.
That's why it's called a Mardi Gras balls.
Yeah, right.
Balls on your chin. Right. But
So David, speaking of the ball and your dad being king, I got one of the programs and I was going through, they list all the past kings or whatever, and it said your dad was king in 1986.
Yeah, that'd be
on
about
there.
Right.
So I didn't realize this. That was the year my dad was a duke.
I think I knew that.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that was the same year.
A duke.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, but well, again, in '86, you were probably seven or eight.
Yeah,
eight.
I took pictures. There's pictures of me and Amanda in there with my parents. My dad and his. Right, your cast costume, sword.
Yeah, no, I remember your. Again, I mean, we had pictures, obviously, of my dad in his costume and stuff like that.
So I did see your pictures on Facebook, Jason. Then you had the purple and gold. Did you select that?
No, I did. I had nothing to do with it. A lady made all the costumes.
And what was your theme? Who are you?
So the theme of the ball was Dumont towards the continents. So I was Asia.
Ah.
And did you ride in on a Rankin Continental?
Or do you have a cataract?
No, his eyes are fine. Terrible. We just lost all our Chinese listeners.
Yeah. So I thought all the costumes were pretty good. all the, you know, I enjoyed the production. It was just, it was a fun time.
And how long did the ball last?
So the program itself was when, like, the queen comes out, king comes out, they bring out the pass court, you wave by pass king, then you wave by to him, and then the dukes come out. That's probably an hour and 15 minutes.
But did the, oh, so the people sitting in the middle on the rotating stage?
That was the king and queen. That was new this year.
That was last year's king and queen or this year's?
No, that was this year's.
So they came out first?
Yes, the king and queen came out first.
Is that different? They usually come out last.
No, I think... God, I feel like I should know this, but... No, I guess the king comes out first and then the court...
Oh, I guess so, yeah, because the court wave to the king and queen.
Right, the court presents themselves to the king and queen.
Right. That's right, okay.
Right, so that, but this was the first year they did the spinning...
The middle... And all that reminds me of that Will Ferrell skit on SNL when he was singing the Christmas song and he got sick because he was spinning around too much and started throwing up everywhere. I'll have to find that.
Now how drunk were you when you presented yourself?
I actually did a good job and I was not.
You had had no drinks up to that point.
I mean, I made a cocktail.
They toasted in the back, huh?
Right.
Yeah,
right,
I made a cocktail and then I had a beer in the back. But the problem is, well, first of all, we were there at 11:30, and you're there all day long because you got to be there. Then you got to take pictures.
Right.
It seemed like it took a long time for the ball to have. There's so much time between. It just took a long time, and it's hard to be there and to not just start drinking.
Sure.
You know, I kind of, you know, I had a beer at maybe like 2:30. Then I stopped and had the cocktail later. I had a beer, but then I realized, like, I don't want to drink a lot here because I don't want to have to go to the bathroom when I'm sitting out there during the program.
Sure. That's a good good strategy there, because.
Right.
So I kind of didn't for a while, just because I got to make sure I get all the pit. Like, I pissed three times, like, the 30 or 40 minutes leading up to the start of the ball, just because I wanted to get it all out to make sure it wasn't going to be a problem. Right.
Well, I remember when my dad, when he was king, I was a page. And, you know, I'm not sure how comfortable my dad was with, you know, public. Not that they speak, but, you know, the whole thing, I think he might have been a tad bit nervous because he was fucking polluted.
Or that was just the time back then. You got smash
fans. Well, and you're right. I think they were all drunk.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm a child. You know, I'm a 10, 11-year-old child, and they were all – I was 11. So, right. So they were, you know, they were smashed.
I mean, I would imagine, yeah.
Look, there's been a lot of balls that I've been to, and I've been feeling good like that.
Oh, my God. Look, I used to enjoy Du Monde Ball. I would go every year. I don't remember the end of any of it. You know, I mean, my whole thing, you know, I mean, just to get fucking polluted. I ruined more tuxedos. I had to pay for more tuxedos.
Jeez.
Because I would just get drunk and lose part of them, or I'd fall down and rip the pants. I mean, done that, you know, bye-bye them. I mean, you know, when they gave me a tux, they knew it wasn't coming
they
back.
They took a deposit before you started.
Right. They know it wasn't coming back, you know, because I was... I ruined tons of tuxes.
Well,
and do they still let you bring? Because remember, if anyone gives a shit, you know, Du Monde Ball had a, you know, nice long history. Then it ceased to operate for several years. They didn't have balls or anything like that.
2001 to 2007, there were no balls.
Right. Right.
That's, and like Jeff.
Boom! You beat me to it. But so before, when it used to be in East St. John's gymnasium, you could bring in, you could bring coolers in.
Yeah, your own beverages.
Right, you brought your own beverages. Do they still do that?
They kind of frown upon it, but if you bring in something small, you can bring it in, because the cost of your ticket goes towards all the alcohol, all the food that's there.
It's an open bar.
Yeah, it's an open bar.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Yeah, that's reflected in the cost of the ticket.
Okay, because it used not to be an open bar.
Well, I know, like, all of us, you know, people bring, like, whoever the Duke and the Maid is, they have to supply the food and alcohol for their tables. This
and,
is just part of your table.
And that's what it used to be back in the day.
Dumont used to do that, yeah.
Right.
But you would
also
bring an ice chest, because you don't know what they were going to put up there, and you want to make sure you drink what you want to
drink.
But now that open bar is a full bar, and they've got, I'd imagine if it's at the Civic Center, last time I remember, it was multiple stations. There's so many bars, there's never a line. Well, relatively speaking.
I mean, The good thing, which I'm going to miss next year, is that I got to go, because I was in costume, I got to go backstage to use the bathroom and make a drink.
Oh, yeah.
Do whatever. So
yeah.
I never had to wait in line for anything, and that was right by my section. So
they should at least give the returning court that feature.
Sure, that same option. And they had a live band?
Yeah, Mojo.
Okay. And that was man, I used to love Des Moines Ball. Again, I'd go and I'd dance and I'd drink all night long
and
I'd
puke.
Dance.
Ruinous.
No, no, I'm not a puker. I don't puke. I would just I'd fall, you know, lots of falling down. You know.
Mosh pitting.
Yes, yeah, so a lot something falling down in mud too. I did that often, you know, cuz remember how I said John, you know, you'd park in that field and it,
yeah.
And I just, you know, I don't know what I would do. I would get so drunk. I loved it. God, I loved the internet. I mean, just so drunk. I didn't know how to, you know, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Last thing I know, I'm having a good time dancing. Next thing I know, it's the next morning.
Well, back then, getting drunk was great and fun because you recovered quickly and easily. Nowadays.
Well, that is true. And also, we knew all the cops in St. John Parish and and the sheriff, so nothing ever happened to me, you know.
And they didn't have social media to get those cops and sheriff in trouble when they would pull favors for you.
All right, well, exactly, right. Many a time I was pulled over and I said, oh, it's you. Yes. Where are you going? I don't know.
I'll take you.
Right.
All right. Well, that's fun. That is fun.
Yeah, it was like I said, a great time, a little bit of sadness that it's over, but...
Right. Now can... I mean, you're out of town. I guess. I mean, you know. Let's say if Jeff joined the whatever
club. Jason probably won't invite me to the ball ever again after this year.
Well, hold on. No. But could Jeff ever be a Duke?
He could, but it's not really feasible. Like if he lived where he lives now, it really probably wouldn't work.
Well, like he said, every weekend you're doing stuff, and it's
yeah, but
it's
only
for that
only
community,
from,
you know.
But not really, because Jason doesn't live in the community.
No, yeah, but he's a member of the Lions Club.
You could be a member of the Lions Club.
Right, but he's closer. I mean, he interacts with them on
a
weekend.
Yeah, but for a month, you couldn't come down. Look,
I mean,
it's
probably like six or seven weeks.
Why are you trying to recruit me?
You should. Well,
I know this is something that you and Jason talked about as a child that you wanted to do together. Maybe if Jason's ever king, you could be a sneak in there.
I don't want to be king. I think I'm good for a while. Even though I enjoyed it, I'm good for a while.
That's what all kings say to throw you off the scent. He's going to be king next year.
No, but why would you not want to be king?
It's just
First of all, how much does it cost?
I mean, it costs more.
Yeah.
How much
being
more?
A king costs more. I don't know the... Okay, I don't know. You know, again, yeah, I don't know the exact number. But right, being a king is more expensive. I don't really want to be a king. No, it's fun. You know, I just get to go to the ball, get to wear my sash every year as a escort member.
Right. Well, you should, and you get your flag. Did they give you a flag? You have to buy.
Oh yeah,
flag.
I got one. Yep, I got one.
You gonna hang that up?
No, that was another cool thing. So I got a flag, but then we had the rehearsal dinner Thursday night at Middendorf's.
Oh, nice.
And like the Dukes and Maids and King, like everybody gives each other gifts. So I got like a bunch of gifts.
Yes.
From all the other Dukes, a bunch of themed gifts.
Animated gifts.
Animated gifts.
Did you get a lot of goblets?
No, I mean I had my mug that I got for being a Duke, but I got a decanter, got a Louisiana-shaped cutting board, got like a Louisiana basket, included a bottle of Crown in there.
Drank it?
No. Not yet. Like Mardi Gras mask, I got a couple shirts with the name on it, a nice fleece with one. Not a fleece, but like a pullover.
And what did you buy? What did you get?
So we made signs, so like square... Well, I say we. Renee did a lot of it.
I wasn't going to let you get away.
Oh yeah, no. Look, I tell you what. I mean, I couldn't have done it without her.
Well, no, because you're just no. So, for that.
But we gave them like a square sign that like you hang up on the wall. We like stenciled. Well, they painted. Like the queens had like a Mardi Gras. I mean, the maids had like a Mardi Gras mask. The king and queen each had a different crown. The dukes had like a jester and it. We stenciled in like Duke Dumont or Maid Dumont or King Dumont 38, little, kind of like a little decorative sign. Which took a lot of time, by the way.
She made it. She made one for each person.
Yeah, and the captain. So we had to make 15. I mean, I did help somewhat with the stenciling, but like she cut all the wood, painted the wood.
Damn.
Through the designs, yeah.
All right. Well.
Wait a second. We. Oh, yeah, no. Well, wait. Well, I thought we were going to do a little Pelican Plunge.
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
You're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball off the glass.
Okay. Yep, still plunging.
You want a little pelican plunge then?
Well, I mean, you had said it in the opening. But.
Pelican plunge. Sure. Well, I was really talking about Boogie being on the Zulu float.
Right, but we have I know.
Yeah,
but,
it's still part of the pelican plunge.
But we haven't said it, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't know that's what I was about to say.
You weren't about to say that.
I was going to say final thoughts and let you bring it up.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
All right, we'll do a pelican dip.
Okay.
Put your toe in the water. Just because you're
so
clean song.
So the Pelicans still have not won with Boogie.
We lost that Thursday night, the Thursday almost a week ago. His first game here, we lost by what, 40 points?
30 points, yeah. We got kind of destroyed.
30? Okay, yeah.
We did play a good team, but we got destroyed.
Wow. But yeah, you know.
Yeah. And then they lost the next game, and then the next game, and DeMarcus gets a technical, and then he's suspended
right.
for Wednesday night's game, and then we win without him.
Right. So his signing had gotten me excited, you know, pumped up for the Pelicans again, and right, and they just broke my heart again. And
as is, of course, the tradition.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the rest of the team stinks, unfortunately. Like, Holiday had a couple crappy games, first couple games. He played better last night, but let's see what he can do going forward. I'm actually going to the game tomorrow. It's the first time I get to see Boogie in action up close. Oh. But, I mean, this team just is too many holes. I mean, I'm excited about having Boogie, but I'm not expecting much this year. I mean, I'll be honest. I think it's better if they lose this year.
Well, I mean, last show we were talking about maybe a run at the playoffs.
I mean, it's still possible.
Well, it's funny, y'all were on both sides. You were like, yeah, lose out or run in the playoffs.
The only problem is I don't think, and look, Damon was right way back when the signing occurred. I don't think Gentry is the guy for this team. And the only way to get rid of him is if they stink. Because if they make a run to the playoffs, they're going to bring him back next year. And, I mean, I don't know that I have faith in him to turn this around.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you saying that. You don't know how many times I hear that. I heard it yesterday.
Oh, about
you were right. About me being right.
That you were right.
Yeah, about everything. You know.
Right.
If people just listened to me in the beginning, then we'd save a lot of bullshit. You know.
Yeah, but the bullshit
really
can be fun.
Life really would. If you just listened to me, I mean, we'd all be fine.
And then, so what did he do? He instead of playing basketball, he spent time on a Mardi Gras float.
Oh, well, he and Davis and Frazier rode in Zulu on Tuesday. The first time Davis had ever ridden in a parade
right.
down here. And I guess with Cousins being suspended, or knowing that he was likely to be suspended the next day, he was having himself a good time.
Yeah. They were throwing footballs off the float.
It's not basketball?
Yeah. Not basketball. They were throwing footballs.
Synergy,
I guess.
Right?
I guess they don't make. I've never seen a basketball,
a Mardi Gras basketball.
Yeah,
I mean, like you get the foam. Like I had some like cotton stuffed football. There's football, soccer balls. I'm sure there's basketballs, and there has to be.
Was he throwing bricks?
What they
off
were throwing.
The floor?
No, that's in the game.
Hey.
So I'm excited for Boogie, but.
Manage your expectations.
There's too many holes on the roster. It'd be better if, because I think we're only like five game, you know, like fifth from the worst team. So there's a legit chance we could win one of the top three picks and actually get to keep it next year, which would be the ideal option.
Oh, we would get to keep it. Okay, I didn't realize.
If it's in the top three, we keep it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd go for that.
So right. I mean, you know, let's say we have a. If we finish with the fifth worst record and we have a maybe like a 14% chance to move up to the top three,
right?
I mean, that over a measly playoff run. Although Kevin Durant just went down, he's going to be out a month for Golden State. But I still think for the, you know, they need him. They need
the
more players.
We've got to actually win.
What's that?
I said we've got to win games for that to matter, right?
Yeah.
So, final thoughts, Jason.
Final thoughts. I'll go with an old school Adam shout out. I'll give a shout out to my crew Dumont 38. Had a great, great time. Can't wait to go through the next year.
Did you pick up any listeners in the process?
We'll see. I hope so.
We won't.
But told them about it.
If they tweet us. All right, Damon, final thoughts?
Well, I'll stick with the theme of this show, I guess. You know, Mardi Gras, for all of our listeners who aren't in the area, I mean, you know, Mardi Gras just passed. We were recording on Thursday night. It was two nights ago. If y'all haven't been to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, it's really something you have to come and see. It's like nothing you will ever experience anywhere else. The pageantry of, like what Jason said, the balls and the old crews, to just the family fun of the parades and the floats. You know, well, the parades are very definitely the parades are definitely family. No, even in New Orleans, you know, as long as you look, if you're on St. Charles Avenue, it is definitely a family oriented.
Yeah, it's more the neighborhoods. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, you know, I mean, no, sure, the closer you get to the French Quarter and Bourbon Street, the wilder it'll get. Yeah, you know, if you're coming as a, you know, a single man or a couple with no kids, yeah, you know, sure, you could gravitate toward Canal and the French Quarter, but if you're a family with kids, you come, you know, toward, again, anywhere by Gallier Hall or going up St. Charles that way, it's definitely family-friendly.
Don't get hit by a truck.
Well, that's, you know... Look, that's only happened once in a couple hundred years, so that's pretty good. But it is a lot of drunk.
Everybody is
right, right. But it really is a lot of fun. It would be an experience of a lifetime. So if anyone listens, you know, do yourself that favor and come down to New Orleans during Mardi Gras and enjoy the festivities.
Get yourself some king cake. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're gonna thank our loyal, or shall we say, royal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, Duke Donkeys.
Bye-bye, Cook's Boner Donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.
Somebody put a question mark at the end of Jason's teleprompter.